Some of you have heard me talk previously about our family secret, our family mystery. It concerns my great-grandfather, William Byrd. We just don't know where he came from. He kind of just simply appeared in Australia in 1855. There's no record of him prior to that. There's no record of him on any ship's manifests. There were heaps of records back then, but William Byrd just appeared at Taree Estate on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in around 1855. And in a quest to try and resolve the mystery, some of our family members, my daughter included, has tracked the history of every William Byrd that was in Australia about that time. And they've tracked them coming into Australia and to where they died. No, that's not him. No, that wasn't him. No, that wasn't him. There is only one possibility. And here's a William Byrd that actually arrived in Australia in 1824 on the Minerva 5. He was a convict. And he wasn't a particularly nice person. And he ended up in Sydney, and then he ended up in Port Macquarie, and he was whipped here, and he did this, and he got married in Port Macquarie, and he had a child, and came to Sydney, got a ticket of leave, and then he just suddenly disappeared. But the interesting thing was, this guy was at exactly the same place our William Byrd was several years earlier. And there's a missing gap between when the 1824 guy disappeared and when the 1855 guy appeared. There are so many mysteries attached to it. Maybe the 1855 guy was a pirate and changed his name and jumped ship or did something like that. Who knows? But maybe the 1824 guy is actually our descendant. So we're doing DNA in the hope. Ancestor. See, that was just a test to see if you're awake. Four of you are awake this morning. Come on, the rest of you. Ancestor. And we're doing DNA to try and work it all out. But, hey, it's a mystery. It's an intriguing mystery. But that's not the only mystery that intrigues me. It's a bit of a confession. I actually like British crime mysteries, fiction. There's another three or four of us. There's only four people every time. Not Agatha Christie. She cheats. She never gives you the critical piece of information. She cheats. And I like that. And I kind of like, I'm not at the scientific end of the world, but I'm intrigued. I just love the mystery of the universe and the idea that there's stuff out there. We haven't even begun to comprehend the breadth and width and height of the universe. It's just amazing. Yes, life truly is full of all sorts of mysteries, of secrets, of things that are hidden, of things that are difficult or impossible to understand or explain. The world of first century Colossae was full of mysteries, was full of secrets. This was particularly true when it came to the spiritual realm. According to the discoveries of archaeologists, however, there were no shortage of groups known as mystery religions who were more than happy to offer people an explanation of the spiritual realm. From their perspective, they had tapped into the spiritual secrets that would help you live a full and meaningful and successful life. And it's been suggested that these mystery religions were the source of the teaching that was influencing the believers in Colossae. And so it isn't hard for us to realise that the Apostle Paul is very intentional in the use of the word mystery when he writes to the Colossians, when he writes to the Ephesians. The people he wrote to fully understood this word and all that it meant in the context. But Paul takes their word and the religious systems it reflects and gives it a whole new meaning. Listen to what he writes. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know that I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches and complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. We are living in a day of gender reveal parties. Back when our children were born, we didn't have parties, but we still had gender reveals. They were just a bit different to now. They happened on the day the baby was born. But regardless of how it happened, the secret was revealed. It was no longer a mystery. And can I suggest that's the first thing we need to notice here in this portion of Scripture? The secret has been revealed. Yes, when it comes to all that God wants us to know and experience about him, when it comes to the eternal kind of life God wants us to enjoy, there is something we need to hear and understand. There are no secrets. It is not hidden. It has been revealed. Notice again what Paul said. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now disclosed. In fact, God has chosen to make it known. And what is this mystery? Well, actually, it's not a what, it is a who. It is a person, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The mystery of God, namely, Christ. Yes, Jesus has come. Remember how Jesus spoke of himself? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And again, I have come that you might have life, have it to the full. Yes, Jesus has come and revealed all that God is and all that God has for his creation. And notice also how Paul described what God has done. His vocabulary, his language is fascinating. Fullness, the glorious riches, full riches, all the treasures. as I hear this language. I get the impression God hasn't held back. God has poured everything he has for us into Jesus. And we have been blessed in Jesus with everything God has for us. How did Paul say it to the Ephesians? Praise be to the God, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Yes, the secret has been revealed. There is no mystery. God wants to bless you, and that blessing is in Jesus. When I think of this, the picture that comes to my mind is Mary Poppins' bag. I know I talked about this a few years ago, but you know Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins is a fictional character who turned up into this family as the nanny, the housekeeper. And she had this amazing bag. Now, most women's bags are amazing. They pull all sorts of things out of them. Well, no, Mary Poppins' bag was a woman's bag per nun. Like, she could pull anything out of this bag. And you kind of, it's a little bit like, you know, Doctor Who's telephone booth. I mean, how big is that thing? And what can you fit in that thing? Well, when I think of this sort of idea that we're thinking about, you need to go back one. Just hold on for a second. I think of Mary Poppins' bag. Because Christ, and it's a really bad illustration, I know, but Christ is like Mary Poppins' bag. All that God is stuffed into that one bag. All that God has for us is in that one bag. And just pull it out, pulling it out, pulling it out, pulling it out. No secrets, all revealed, all given in Christ Jesus. Notice also here in this portion of Scripture how the Apostle Paul responded to the fact that the secret has been revealed. For him, the secret was just too big to keep. Several years ago now, I guess about 9 years ago, one of our granddaughters was three or four. We just can't remember. Let's say Abby was three. And her parents came to her and said, "We've got a secret to tell you." Ah, okay, she liked the idea of this. "We're going to have a baby, another baby." And Abby, the sharp kid that she is, said, "Oh, that's too big. I can't keep that secret." Well, can I suggest to you how the Apostle Paul responded to the fact that the secret has been revealed was just like our granddaughter. "That's too big a secret. I am not going to keep a hold of that one. No, I will not. I cannot hold that to myself." Remember how we mentioned previously that the Apostle Paul had never actually met these people at Colossae, the people he's writing to. And he's, yes, he's concerned for them and he's reaching out to them. But he doesn't want them to think he's just another voice like all the other mystery religion prophets. No, he has been sent from God. He has been, as we read in verse 25, commissioned by God to present to them the word of God in its fullness. And in case these people doubted Paul's sincerity, he describes how he willingly suffered in verse 24 to make the message known. How he put himself in the humble position of a servant in verse 25. And for those he told the message to. And how he spent his life working strenuously in verse 29 so that they could hear this message clearly. You know, interestingly, that is exactly what we see in Jesus. And that is exactly what Jesus calls us to when he said, follow me. Yes, there is something challenging for all of us to hear in this. You might be interested to know, this actually is one of the portions of scripture that has shaped my life. As a teenager, sensing God was calling me into a life of ministry, reading this pointed me in the direction of what God wanted me to do. But there's something else we need to note here that I think is very encouraging for us as well. Paul was commissioned by God to be an apostle, to make the message of Jesus known. As such, he was one of the unique people who was given the responsibility of communicating the very words of God, Scripture. He was one of those whom Peter spoke of when Peter wrote, Scripture, prophecy, never had its origin in the human will, but prophets. Though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can confidently hold the Bible in our hands and say, this is Scripture, the very words of God, God's word written. And yes, when we open it, we can do it with confidence. As we read it, we are hearing the voice of God. This is what God wants us to know. This is what we can build our lives on. There is one final thing I want to draw your attention to this morning. Knowing the secret changes things. Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. I'm telling you about this mystery, the Christ, the mystery that's been revealed. Why am I doing that? So that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. This letter that Paul has written, it comes out of the fact that Paul is concerned for these followers of Jesus in Colossae because they were being conned. I don't know if you've ever had a friend who was being conned and you were looking on. Well, these people were being conned. They were being deceived by smooth talkers. And yes, let's be honest, that sort of thing happens today. There are plenty of smooth talkers out there. You listen to them all the time on YouTube. You read their books. Well, you see their books in Koorong. I wasn't accusing anything. Brian was all over it. We see it all the time. And Scripture is very clear at this point. The one who sits behind such deception is the devil. He is a liar. He is the con man. He comes along speaking half-truths and subtly giving us the impression God isn't who he says he is or won't do what he said he will do. That is what the devil did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That is what the devil did with Jesus in the desert. That is what the devil is doing with the people at Colossae that we're reading about. And yes, that is what the devil attempts to do with you and me today. And what is it God wants us to hear in the face of such deception? Jesus, the mystery of God, the one in whom all the fullness of God dwells, has come. And in Christ, yes, we who believe in him, we have been brought into this fullness. We're going to do something very risky now. I want to try and paint a picture for you of how this works. So I have brought props. So this glass reflects you and me. This is you. Okay? And yes, I suspect the carpet is going to get wet. But it's special carpet built for the purpose. This is water. And this water represents the lies of the devil. Now, at the moment, all it represents is water. Excuse me. Sorry if anyone's offended by what I'm doing. And these pebbles, I wanted one big rock, but I couldn't find it. But these pebbles, stones, represent the truth that is in Jesus. You with me? Glass is you and me. The water is the lies of the devil, and the stones are the truth in Jesus. It's called displacement. See, I'm scientific too. I know many of you doubted whether I could do a scientific experiment. I just did one in church. I'm excited. I'm so excited. People are laughing because they know I am definitely not scientific. For you who have no idea what's going on. So here it is. See, what did Jesus say? The truth will set you free. The truth displaces the lie. The way you take the power away from a con man is simply say, that's not true. And the minute you say that, the con man no longer has any power over your life. Truth exposes lies. Truth eats Jesus. The truth that is in Jesus eats the devil for breakfast every day, to use an Aussie English expression. Yes, the truth will set you free. I have come to destroy the works of the devil. As we read in Ephesians, do not give the devil a foothold. Yes, friends, knowing the secret changes things. Changes things. Do you hear what God's saying to us this morning? Christianity, the truth that is in Jesus, is not a mystery religion. God isn't holding back something from you. Jesus has come. The mystery has been revealed. And indeed, this has an impact in our lives. Let me finish as I read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He, Jesus, he is the head over every power and authority. Amen.